You may be seated. Thought this might happen. My computer's not going to work, so we'll do it from here. The second reading this morning is from the Gospel of John. We've got two Gospel readings here today because I want to talk a little bit about how Jesus really challenges us. He says one thing, and then it seems he says the opposite. We're going to have to struggle with that a little bit today. Let's see what happens. John 17, 21 through 26. This is his prayer before his crucifixion, a little before that, for his disciples. I pray they will be one, Creator God, my Abba. Just as you are in me and I am in you, I pray that they also will be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me so that they can be one just as we are one. I'm in them and you are in me, so that they will be made perfectly one. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you have loved them just as you loved me. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds, that you would speak to us whatever word we need to hear this day, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, Jesus wants us all to be one, right? And he's pretty strong with the legal expert about what he needs to believe. And so my question is it more important to have the right belief or to be one? Because it seems to me that our beliefs get in the way of our being one, at least a few times here and there. My children are great teachers. They're 6, 7, and 8 right now. We've just done some work with a foster son who's 15, 16 months right now, and he went back to his grandma, his birth grandma, and hopefully that's going to work out well. We had him for 11 months, from 4 months old to 15 months old. It's been really a fun thing. Well, these children, of course they've taught me many things, but one of the things they've taught me about is what's necessary to stay together as a family and what you can just kind of let go of. You know, some things just aren't that important. They're not battles you have to fight. So I have this belief that over the years has come to be true, I think, is that I kind of need 8 hours of sleep at night. And I'm actually a lot nicer if I have 9 hours of sleep at night. Well, it's been about 8 years since I've had that. the truth is, I'm not willing to divide our family over that issue. It's not that important. I get enough sleep, put it that way. I'm sure you can think of examples. That's just kind of a silly example. But I'm sure you can think of other examples of things that you've had to kind of set aside in your belief system in order to get along with folks. My parents came to visit this last weekend, and they're pretty strong Republicans, and I won't tell you what I am, but we had a lot of disagreements about some things, and which is okay, because I love them anyway. It doesn't matter. We have differences of opinion about things, and we still love each other. And we just let it be that. We just know we agree to disagree on some things. That's okay, right? So, what about unity? It's pretty important, right? Maybe the more difficult and serious question is, are there beliefs that I hold that are worth dividing family for? the more difficult one. Do either some beliefs that we have to hold so dearly, or we have to hold on to in a way that makes it worth it to even split a family. My family, our family, is evidence of other families having to make very difficult decisions about what to do to split up their families. Those in foster care, those in the adoption system, for whatever reason, for lots of good reasons, have had to have their families divided. It could be a pregnancy from rape. It could be a mother who's responsible for her other children and for extended family and really just can't care for one more child well, and so makes a decision to say, this child would be in a better place if someone else could take care of him or her. Birth parents whose own lives have been racked with abuse or neglect, and they just don't have the internal resources or the financial resources or whatever it takes to take care of children, so they make a different decision. Divorce rates also demonstrate the reality of division in families. Partners and spouses move in different directions and they just can't find their way back together again. Surviving an abusive spouse may drive a family apart. Addictions may make staying together intolerable. The reasons for division sometimes seem stronger than the reasons to stay together in the first place. And it makes me struggle, at least, with what Jesus is trying to get us to do. Of course, our political climate is also one that demonstrates the difficulty of unity in the midst of very diverse beliefs. Establishing a clear difference from your opponent is the way to win an election, right? And actually just calling them an opponent is divisive in itself. Aren't there beliefs that are worth dividing over? Is unity really all that important? Isn't standing for something more important than staying together, than having that thing we call unity? And what about church? Which is more important? Unity of the body or correctness of belief? Jesus often demonstrated his disagreement with the religious authorities of the day, people like me in particular. He challenged their understanding of the Sabbath. He stepped over the boundaries of gender, ritual uncleanness, nationality and religious affiliation and behavior. Women, lepers, Samaritans, and tax collectors were his companions. And his final prayer before his death was for unity, praying that they may all be one. Unity is important to Jesus somehow. Throughout its history, the UCC has also said that unity is important. Our motto is that they may all be one. If you look at the UCC symbol, it has, that they may all be one. And yet, we've probably taken the most divisive stands on issues of any denomination that is around, right? So is it more important for us to stand for something that we believe in? Or is it more important that we're all one? Unity, belief. Is it possible to have unity in the midst of diversity of belief? Now, another UCC belief is stated in the phrase, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty or diversity, and in all things, charity or love. The unity that we seek may not be found in an uncritical acceptance of any point of view, or in a rigid formulating of doctrine. I think the kind of unity we're talking about is based on something else. Unity in diversity implies that Christians will think differently and have different gifts and different ministries. Every individual within the body of Christ is given a particular capacity for ministry, all of us. Far from undermining the fundamental unity existing between individual Christians, the diversity of spiritual gifts enhances, even necessitates unity. This thing that Paul said about each of us being a part of the body of Christ and that this body is needed in the world somehow. I think on some level this is some kind of mystical reality that we can't really see or can't really touch in some way. But it is one that already exists. We're already one, even in our diversity. Paul wrote about this sense of oneness, that we're not separated even though we might be different, that we're all the body of Christ. He says there is no Jew or Greek. And I'm going to paraphrase a bit here. There is no male or female or trans, no young or old, married or single, rich or poor, Republican or Democrat or independent, Presbyterian or Methodist or Catholic or UCC, no Christian or Muslim or Jew or Buddhist, no ordained or layperson. There is no gay or straight or bi, no able-bodied or differently bodied, no liberal or conservative. Yes, these are different, but they are all parts of the body. Nothing can destroy the unity that is present. Nothing can make any of these parts not a part of the body. We affirm that nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God. That is an affirmation that we try to hold true. It is love that unites us and makes it possible to be in relationship with those who are different than we are. It is love that helps us stand for something worthwhile. In holy love, our sense of separateness dissolves, and we know ourselves as arising from the brilliant light of divine love that creates and sustains the universe. We need connection, I believe, more than we need answers to some of these difficult questions. Why is this happening to me? Why do I have to put up with this so-and-so over here, right? And yet we found that it doesn't actually feed us to pursue that question. Instead, we found that we're more looking for connection with ourselves, with our world, and with our God. When that connection exists, all sorts of great things can happen. And when it doesn't, no amount of answers or insight seem to help us. So I offer this challenge and difficult word to you today, because it's one that I've been really struggling with and debating with God about. How do I stay in unity with those people that have such diverse and different ideas than I do? And the answer keeps coming back: love them. That's not an easy answer, is it? But I think it's the only answer. May it be so. Amen.